Welcome everyone to another episode of Bench Talk. Thank you guys for joining and listening in. Thank you guys for watching, those who are watching us on YouTube. Thank you for watching. I am Jackie Mitchell, your career consultant from Jackie Mitchell Career Consulting. And I am so excited today to be talking with our guest, Christy Kincaid. Christy, say hello.
Hello, how are you?
Awesome. I'm doing great. So today we are talking about leadership. So we're doing a series on women in leadership. And I thought it would be a really, really great idea to bring in someone who is in a leadership role in a little bit of a different, something a little different from what we've been doing, used to doing, strictly talking with women in corporate America. We are talking with Coach Christy Kincaid. Coach Christy is the head coach of Phoenix College. And Christy has been the head coach there for the past 10 years now, Christy?
10 years. You blink and it's already gone. So yes, 10 years.
For those who are watching, the logo, their team mascot is the Bears. Go Bears.
Right? Yes. Go Bears.
Go Bears. So I want to give you guys a little bit of Christy's background. And then I'm going to have Christy talk about herself a little bit, give a little of how she became head coach. So this all ties into leadership, and you guys will see how this happens. But I got to brag on Christy a little bit. So if I'm looking down, it's because Christy is, number one, a badass with all of these accomplishments.
Oh, God.
So many accomplishments, and it's awesome to read and see, and I am really honored to have an opportunity to speak with you today, Christy. So as I said, Christy is the head coach of Phoenix College in Arizona, and she's been the head coach since 2010. That's awesome. Prior to that, you have been an assistant head coach at the University of Nevada.
Yes.
Right? Prior to that, you had assistant coaching positions at University of Nevada, University of California, Riverside, and Central Arizona College.
Right.
That is awesome. And so not only have you coached and are coaching, you were also an athlete, right? And many accolades behind your name. So at Northern Montana University, you were first team All-American.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to you on that. That's awesome.
Many moons ago.
But still, you made that accomplishment. Right, that is awesome, right? Central Arizona State College, 1989 national champions, mm-hmm. first team Kodak All-American, 89. Awesome. And some additional accomplishments, your high school All-American.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. Three national championships, two as a player and one as an assistant coach. You were featured in Sports Illustrated Faces in the Crowd in 89.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say? Right. Are you blushing? Is it weird?
I am. It's a good thing you can't see.
Inducted into Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union Hall of Fame in 2012. Inducted into Central Arizona College 2015 Wall of Success. And I missed one. Inducted into Northern Montana State University Athletics Hall of Fame 2003. You have many more. We will post that in the show notes because you've done a lot as an athlete and as a coach, which is really interesting because I've had this conversation several times throughout watching basketball with folks. We talk about, and when I see ex-players become coaches, you know, for me in my brain, I'm wondering, how was that transition? You know, how did they do it? And not everyone who has played the game can coach, you know, because coaching takes on many different levels and many different facets, right? So along the lines of that, Christy, tell us a little bit about your background as a player and what prompted you and what was your path on becoming a coach and now ultimately a head coach.
Well, I'll tell you, I was born and raised in Waterloo, Iowa. I'm a Midwest girl, country girl. You know, I'm not ashamed to say it. So definitely, you know, salt of the earth. I was one of four girls, my poor dad, you know, four girls in the house, plus my mom, so five, all that estrogen.
Oh,
you know,
my goodness.
He was like, oh, God. And but I was a tomboy. You know, I loved being outside, and, you know, it was something that I felt athletics was in my DNA. My dad, my uncles, they all played. So It was definitely in our household, you know, being an athlete. Was definitely something that, you know, we did. Not all of the sisters participated in sports. Some went in other directions, but they supported us in whatever we wanted. But, you know, basketball really was the sport that I clutched onto. Early on, I did gymnastics, and I, you know, when I first started, I was short. I had a growth spurt later on, but I thought, I'm going to be the first African-American gymnast, you know, and this was way back, you know, and I'm thinking, Okay, I start growing, that's not going to be it. So basketball became it. And, you know, I played out in the neighborhood, playgrounds. All of the guys in the neighborhood would tell you they made me. So they're like, hey, don't forget, shout us out, you know, give us some kudos because we made you.
Wow.
You know, my dad made this basketball court in our backyard, and one of the rules, if everybody in the neighborhood wanted to play, and it was mainly the guys that would come in, that I was able to play. And I said, listen, I'll earn it, so I'll get on, but I'm playing, so I'm not going to just sit over there and watch. I'm going to actually participate. So that's really kind of where I got that grit and played against guys quite a bit and really just went after it. But you know, being in that type of atmosphere really helped along the way. So,
right.
And then as far as getting into coaching, you know, I really just didn't want to end, you know, basketball, and, you know, it had opened so many doors for me, and it was an opportunity to continue to do it. And, you know, it's easier said or not easier. It's not as easy as it would seem, you know, being a player that, you know, is very successful, but I was in control of my own destiny. You know, I had that control. Being a coach, you now have to motivate, inspire, you know, you're constantly trying to share with them the things that you did. And,
right.
And sometimes it's not as received, you know, and so, you know, coaching can be a lot of different things. And I look at it as the overall picture of development of a student athlete, and especially our young women. So, you know, coaching means different things to me. I mean, do I want to win? Absolutely. I mean, it's in my DNA, you know, it's,
right.
You know, two national championships as a player, one as an assistant coach. And
right.
We were very close in 2015. But, you know, again, it's more than just that for me.
Yes.
So coaching has just been, it's felt like it's normal. I get paid doing something I love.
That is awesome. And it's something that you said, I want to kind of go back to speak on a little bit more. When you were in college playing,
mm-hmm.
did you know then that, like you said, you didn't want it to end. So did you already know that that was the path that you were going to, take?
Well, as far as the professional side, it wasn't really, I mean, you had to go overseas if you wanted to play professionally. And I had quite a few friends playing overseas, and, you know, they were spending their entire check on their phone bill because obviously there was no internet like that. And
right.
So it was, you know, people were homesick, people were going over in countries, and, you know, you were isolated, you were by yourself, and we just didn't have, you know, the opportunities here in the U.S. as there are now.
Right.
But I just chose that, you know, that wasn't going to be the best route for me. And, you know, got out of coaching, just started, you know, a job, but it didn't really fit. I felt like I was continuing. People would call and say, hey, can you help us out over here? Can you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? I think I really want to get back into coaching. And my past head coach, and that's where I started at Central Arizona,
mm-hmm.
As an assistant coach, I was working on an airline, and she would bring in recruits, and she was always picking them up at the airport, and I would see her, and she's like, all right, KK, she called me KK.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you need to finish school, come down, help me, and you know, get into coaching. And I think that'll be good for you. I said, you know what? I think I'd like to do that because I missed it so much. And so that's really how it started, is that I got back into coaching. And really from there, it's, you know, the rest is history here.
Awesome. Awesome. So you had touched on something I want to talk about, and it's a great segue into our topic. Before I say that, so you're a basketball coach, and I'm not saying that we're doing the same thing. And I'm a career coach, life coach as well. Coaching overall and in and of itself, regardless of the specific area, in my mind, means pretty much the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. For you, what does coaching mean to you?
Coaching is a blended, I feel like I wear a lot of different hats. And again, coaching to me may be different than others. You know, mm-hmm. some may say, you know, successful coaches are, you know, winning, you know, 500 games and all of that. So I do want to win. I mean, that right. is obviously important. But for me, it seems as if I'm the developer, the nurturer. I really feel that is important. I feel it is my job as a coach to help mentor these young women and really giving them an opportunity. And I read something somewhere about how I might not have gotten it right, but I'm able to share with someone else maybe ideas or things and give them a blueprint on this is how you can get there. And so Absolutely. I feel it's like a whole circle of coaching. It's not just 94 by 50 feet. It is outside right. of that as well. So
absolutely. And there's so many parallels, regardless if it's on the court or off the court, you're still coaching, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when I say on the court and court and off the court. So FYI, I'm from Brooklyn and sometimes that comes out.
That's all right. I still understand.
And I catch myself and I'm like, okay. Yeah. I just find it really interesting. First of all, I love studying behavior and thought, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just find it interesting in observing what we do professionally in corporate America, those who are in leadership roles, who understand that they are coaches, mm-hmm. those are the ones who really understand what that means. Those are the ones who I see, for the most part, are more successful than those who are managing, you know, or are quote unquote bosses.
Right.
So there are so many parallels to coaching an athletic team and coaching a development team, an IT team, you know, a marketing team. There's so many parallels because I think that there are fundamental skill sets that you have to have, mm-hmm. right? And bringing that to your team is really instrumental in the success of your team, right? So talk about that a little bit. Yes, you were saying, you know, yes, you want to win, but there are other things that are important. So let's talk about that a little bit more about what those other things are, because you can take that and you know, apply it to so many different areas in your life mm-hmm. and in these young women's lives, right?
Right. Well, you know, first and foremost, they're a student before athlete. You know, it's student athlete. So we talk about the academic side. And so when I recruit a student, I talk to them about their opportunities at being a good student, which right. is going to also, you know, help as far as getting an opportunity at the next level. I'm at a community college, so I have them for 2 years, and then someone else gets all that hard, gray-haired work, you know. They get that benefit of them moving on as a junior and senior. And then, you know, as a junior, you've now figured out, all right, I want to do this, or you start mm-hmm. getting into your degree. And, right. you know, so as far as that is concerned, you know, coaching is really teaching. And I feel leadership is more of it. There's a structure. And mm-hmm. so I feel like I do a little bit of both. I blend. Mm-hmm. There are times I need to lead and I need to share yeah. those leadership skills and hold people accountable. And those are those things that you have to have in order for us to be successful.
Right.
And I also believe in coaching, and that's the development side, and that's the nurturing side. And really, you know, what are your strengths? What are my weaknesses? And trying to blend those and really kind of bringing them both. And it's on the academic side. It's as a student athlete. It's as just a human being. You know, we do community service. We try to become a well-rounded individual and not just be, you know, some people think, oh, those dumb jocks or what have you. And I think that we are changing the perception of that. I've been here, this is going on my 10th year. So for 9 years, I've had an academic All-American teams, which means that my team has to maintain 3 point and above GPA as a team.
Awesome.
We've gone as high as 3.45, so as a team, and that's pretty dang good. So I've had academic All-Americans. I've had about 30 of those, which I'm very proud of, because I think that's very important. Again, you know, your academic side is extremely important, and it launches you into the next, you know, phase of your life. You're not going to play forever, and I said it's a short window. 4 years goes by so fast. But what athletics does is give you discipline and consistency, and it creates that path. So, you know, where some may struggle, you know, we are time management, we're on point with it, you know, you are accountable. And so you have to be on time, sit in the front. So all of those things we share, you know, to be a good student. I feel if you're a good student, you're going to be a good athlete because you bring both of those disciplines together.
Absolutely. So we haven't explicitly said, but you coach girls, women,
yes.
Right? Young women. So I wanted to ask, how do you prepare them for their future with what you do? What's your thoughts on that? How do you do
that? You know, I think for me, and again, at a community college level, you know, you come to a community college level because either financially it fits, you athletically, either you didn't get the exposure you wanted, so you have to come and develop that piece, or academically, you really need to kind of have a small setting and develop that way. I really try to help them see that their failures and their successes all serve a purpose. And so it's part of that growth, and that not all failures are bad. They're lessons.
Right.
It's learning. And we have to reteach how we view a failure. So, you know, failure is only a failure when you just stop, you quit, you don't try anymore. And so it's really trying to help them understand that there is just life lessons, and you got to remember, you know, how did you get here in the first place, and what led you to that? And so, you know, for us in my program, we try to build, you know, we create a blueprint, and I make them create a resume because it's a resume that's getting them to the next level. So we talk about the academic side, what they're doing, strength and conditioning, and then what they're doing on the court. So then they can highlight those things. And, you know, it used to be the old thing, I would help everyone get to the next level. But at the same time, no, let's take an active role in really what your journey is about. So we started doing that a few years back. And at the beginning, the kids were like, no, coach, I don't want to do that. But I said, listen, it's a part of development. So you're going to create a highlight reel. You're going to send it out. I'll follow up with, you know, emails and calls to these coaches. But you're really promoting yourself. And so we did that. And I felt like it really started something with our program and these young women in confidence. So
Yes. And with that, too, it sounds like it helps them, one, to be accountable and to be a participant, an active participant in their life. Right.
Yes.
It's not just living by default. Oh, I'm, you know, I'm playing and coach is going to do all of this for me. It's like, no, time out. You have to do certain things.
Right.
And as a coach, you know that you can't, you can't want it more than them. Right. They have to have that in them, or we have to inspire them to find that place in them, want to be an active participant. And sometimes I see this even in my practice, I have to meet people where they are. Right. I cannot be 50 feet in front of them and say, you know, come on. It's like, I have to meet you right where you are, and we're going to do this together, but know that really and truly, you're really leading this. You know, I'm helping you, but you're really leading this. And I think it's really great that you're helping young women understand that early, right? And instilling that in them early so that they, once they move on to the next level, it's nothing new for them, right? It's not a shock. Oh my goodness, I have to do things. I have to like plan, right? Right? So something I want to talk about as well is, and you mentioned this, leading and coaching, there are differences and there are parallels, and it seems like you're very aware of what that is. So what does that look like for you when you have to lead and when you're like coaching and inspiring?
The parallel, first of all, I love John Maxwell, his leadership books,
and try to use
quite a few of his, you know, examples of leadership in that. And then I can't think of the author, but I do know the name of the book, Act Like a Leader, Think Like a Leader. Ibarra might be the last name. Really good book. And that book really resonated with me because it talked about being a hub or a bridge.
And wow.
So a hub really kind of talked about, I mean, you're good. You can handle things and you've maintained, but a bridge networks and then kind of brings that, you know, that piece together. And I feel like I am more of a bridge in coaching than I am a hub. Hub doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. It just means that, you know, your growth set is set. It's not a growth mindset versus, and again, that's not bad. If things are working and you're doing well, then that would be more of the leadership of it's set. There's no flexibility in that leadership. And I'm not a dictator by any means.
Right.
I like to allow, because every year I get a different personality and I have to coach based on personality. I can't expect
a one size fits all.
Yeah. I mean, when I played, that's the way it was. It was fear-based. It was like, you're gonna do this because I told you so. So, okay, coach, no problem. You know, nowadays, oh no, you know, kids will quit, they'll walk out, and I'm thinking, don't make decisions that are life-altering. Just give yourself a minute before you make that decision, because they're so quick to respond, and they don't think about really how that'll impact their future. And so we try to have meetings. I mean, I am stretched in a lot of different ways, but I try to have meetings with them so we can talk about things, you know, because there's more than just basketball. There's life outside of that and
activities
and everything and relationships. And there, I mean, this is a really tough time. They're becoming a young woman and what's acceptable and what's not, and who their friends are, what their circle looks like, you know, and more importantly now, you know, is this social media. And so I'm like, you need to be careful of your footprint of what you're leaving out there, because, and then who's on your pages, what are their comments, those things.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful of what you're doing. But you know, social media shows this perfect person, this people with no flaws. And so we tend to put ourselves at that level, and then they're disappointed all the time. And I'm like, no, you know, we're gonna have stages that we are just not doing it very well, but we have to learn how to continue to grow through that and develop through it. So, you know, each leadership style, I have to kind of blend it. So it's never one way. It's always different. And, you know, 15 young women, it's a lot sometimes to manage, because I have some that are very strong willed and, you know, that's their way. And then I have some that are so mild and meek and they really have a voice. And I'm like, you know, listen, we have to try to get it out of all, but we try to blend it. So everyone, I tell them, all of you have value, and that no one's value is any less or greater than anyone else's, because, and you said it, and it's funny that you said it, active participant. And so I try to use that no matter what your role is on this team, you are valued. And so we try to value maybe even the ones that maybe not play, but I mean, in practice, they're developing the others. They're doing things. So it doesn't right. mean that they don't have value. It just means it's different. So we try to instill that everyone has value and you need to treat them accordingly. Just because you might be scoring the points or getting the rebounds or doing whatever, there's still value in those that are not doing that, you know, because it is a team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about motivation and inspiration. And those two words are very interesting and mean quite a few different things, right? So let me ask you, how do you define the two and do you have a preference?
Motivation, I feel like, is more movement, some kind of motion. So being active or an action. So when I'm trying to motivate, there's some type of action behind it. Inspiring more is feeding them knowledge, giving them examples, letting them see something. So it's trying to create this blueprint that's theirs. But motivate, I mean, again, you have to do both. And some days I'm feeling like this is it. You know, I've got the speech and I'm really good. I'm feeling it myself. And then I get in there, I'm like, oh, that wasn't received as well. But I constantly have to remember they're not my age. And what I think is inspiring and motivational is not the same as them. So I have to make sure I am really conscious of what's going on in the world at their level.
Yes.
And so I have to be willing to kind of find out what makes them tick? So we constantly have those kind of conversations, and even their language. I have to understand that when I am coaching, there might be a term that I use as coaches use, but they have no clue. They nod like, yeah, I know. Yeah. I was like, got it, coach. And then I'm like, why aren't you there? And then they're looking at me like, what are you talking about? I sometimes go through and it's like creating a vocabulary that I understand, they understand, so we both can understand each other because times have changed. And you know, again, it's not about kids want to learn. They do.
Yeah.
They want to be taught. They want to absorb. But we have to make sure we're speaking in a language that they understand as well.
Absolutely. I want to add really quickly, you're a mom as well.
On top of
that, you're a mom as well.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So. A senior at this, struggling.
As am I. And what you said is so true. We have to get at their level. And, you know, my kids teach me every day, especially the youngest one, because he's home. I'm almost an empty nest. Mm. Yeah. So I have the younger one who teaches me some interesting things that a 10-year-old or almost 11-year-old boy would be teaching. And it's very interesting. Times have changed greatly.
We keep scratching our head. Like, I don't get that. I don't understand, but okay.
Right. And even my daughter, she's 18. She's a freshman in college. And sometimes she'll look at me and she's like, you just don't.
Right.
You'll be okay. You don't know.
Right. Oh, yeah. My daughter says, Mom, I can't take a TED Talk today. I'm like, okay. I mean, what? She goes, no, I need some other advice. Not a TED Talk, please. I'm like, okay.
I am so guilty of the TED Talks. I am so guilty of the TED Talks.
Man.
Oh my goodness. I just had a text conversation with a girlfriend of mine. And at the end of it, I said, thank you for participating in my TED Talk. And she was like, right. Only you. Only
right.
you.
Right. Yep. For sure.
Oh my goodness. So back on subject, talking about, inspiring and motivating young women, you did talk about some of the challenges of doing that, right? And so if you think about when you were a player, What were some of the challenges for you as a player being inspired, or did you have any challenges yourself personally being motivated or inspired to get to the next level or do the next thing?
I'll say as a player for me, again, I grew up in Iowa, and really one of early on, I just had this burning desire. I really wanted to be in the top 10 mm-hmm. in the country. I felt like someone was always out there working harder than what I was. And I just, mm-hmm. I really wanted to figure out how could I, compete nationally, and ended up, getting involved with some different camps in that. So I was able to travel and play East Coast, Midwest, and then the okay. West Coast. And so I was able to see quite a few different players. I will say that I grew up and found out later on in college, mind you, like my senior year, that I'm dyslexic, and I struggled through school. And I mean, struggled. And I had no idea. I thought, God, I am dumb. And I would say those things. And it hurts me now to even think that I would say yeah. that, and that message was in there, because mm-hmm. When I played, they initiated the ACT, SAT, mm-hmm. the Prop 48 in college right. sports in 85. And it was supposed right. to be a test run. Well, that affected me because I did not pass it. So that was one of the reasons why I had to go to a community college. And mm-hmm. and I think it was very public. And because I was a really good athlete, they poured in the newspaper, oh, Kincaid has to go JUCO. And so I think I really struggled with, oh, God, part of fame, you get all this, but yet,
yeah,
here we go, it's newsworthy, they say this, and that really hurt me. I struggled with that,
right?
But that was another reason why I wanted to prove that, look, I could be the best athlete, and I could do these things, and I could be a student athlete. I didn't know until much later on that I was dyslexic. And so some of the things I did as a student, like I highlighted index cards, and I pretended mm-hmm. to be a teacher, and I just did whatever I thought I could to try to retain. I couldn't retain. I mean, I love books to this day. I cannot mm-hmm. remember the author's name. I mm-hmm. write, I've got books galore that I keep and I write in it so I can just retain. But I tell you, it was a struggle, and I just felt less than. And so mm-hmm. I thought through athletics, I had power over that, and that I was in control of that. And so I went to a community college, and we were national champions. We were the first national champions there at Central Arizona. I was player of the year, national player of the year, all American. So again, I really did very well. And then ended up I signed with Nebraska. It didn't work out for me. Mm-hmm. There were about four players that left. And unfortunately, that I was the last one that ended up leaving, and they wouldn't release me. So I couldn't play NCAA Division I, II, or III.
Wow.
Ended up sitting out, and then a small school in northern Montana called me and said, hey, would you like to come back and play? And I thought, well, yeah, are you sure I can play? And they said, yes, absolutely. And I went there and was a part of another national championship and player of the year up there. And so again, it was that, and I had my aha moment was when I had a psychology teacher. She just, because I learned that if I just spoke with those professors, and I was up on the first day, I'm like, can I get extra credit? They're like, what? Calm down. You don't need extra credit. I'm like, no, I need extra credit. And they're
right,
like, relax. It's day one, And so I was constantly there making appointments. And so I knew if I did that, I built this relationship with these instructors that they would say, look, she's working hard.
Right.
And so she finally said, I think you're dyslexic, because I went over tests with her and I did all this, but it ended up being, she says, would you mind if we tested you? And I'm like, sure. So I was tested, and then come to find out, I'm like, man, all these years, and
yeah.
I could have had help. Of course, back then they didn't have all the resources they have now. So,
right.
But yeah, I think that it really kind of played a part. That was definitely a motivator for me, is that I struggled in school, and I wanted to make sure that I was good in something. And now that I find out that, I there was a reason behind that. I mean,
right.
I did love school, and I love, reading and that, but, I didn't know until later on that was the challenge. So,
So tell me, going through the things that you've gone through and obviously have been very successful, as a coach now and as a woman and as a mom, when you see some of those traits show up at your door, right, with other young women, what do you pull on to help get them from day one to day 100? You know what I mean? Like, how do you help to motivate them and inspire them and show them that, yes, you have this thing or this situation that doesn't define you? You know what I mean? So how do you help them through that? Or what can you say to someone who's in that, right?
Right. Well, you know, everyone comes in with a different story and their journey is different. And so part of the recruitment process, and I think part of coaching is investing in your student athlete. So I have to get to know them.
Right.
If they know you care, they'll run through the wall for you. If you don't care and you're just there to just coach and it's X's and O's and it's, then, I mean, and some people maybe thrive with that. I did not. I needed to know someone cared. So for me, it's investing in them and really understanding who they are and where they've come from. What are their challenges and how can we use some of the resources that we have available to then help them, you know, if it's academically. And so I don't, I'm not very sensitive when they don't do their homework and they're like, I don't know why this coach or this teacher doesn't like me and this, that. I'm like, no. So you're talking to a person that went through my entire schooling with no help. So that is an excuse. With the resources that we have, and we talk about if they have a disability, that it is not a bad thing to get help. It's a bad thing when you don't get help.
Exactly.
So we definitely really utilize our resources and make sure that they're successful, because in the end, that's what we want. We want them to be successful. So, you know, trying to get them on a path that it works by using the resources is really, really helpful. But we try to map it out. We try to create a blueprint. And, you know, I've been in coaching and I'm always like, I'm surprised that when I have something that happens, you know, we've had, you know, kids with no parents, kids with single parent, kids with, you know, a death in the family while they're here. I mean, we've had every gamut around. And so I learn a little bit more. I mean, I don't know everything, that's for sure. And every experience I learn. And so, but kids come in and they think, oh, I'm going to really stump you with this one, you know, and they come in thinking that their story's different. And I said, yours may be different, but they're common threads. And
Absolutely.
So we try to, you know, I share as much as I can examples of some of the kids that have gone through my program. And, you know, I've been very blessed with coaching, you know, many young women that are now women in professional lives, doctors, lawyers, judges, veterinarians, got my first veterinarian, which is awesome. And you name it, you know, they are the whole thing. And so they come back and they share their experience here and how, you know, it helped them and that, you know, just listen and stay on the course. And so, you know, that piece is really helpful because I get to use my student athletes as mentors. And so I call on them quite a bit and like, look, I need you to come speak to this young woman or, you know, someone that wants to get into litigation or be a lawyer or that I'll call some of my kids that are in that field or, you know, doctor or nurses, engineers, whatever it is. And again, it is a great resource to have. So sometimes I feel like I'm in HR, you know, like set somebody up. I'm like, oh, I got just the kid for you.
Yeah.
They're not a kid, they're a woman now.
That's awesome. And, you know, just in talking to you, it's, you're holistic, right?
Yes.
When it comes to coaching, you're not just looking, you know, blinders on, it's just what's on the court. I don't care about anything else. You know, leave it outside. Don't bring it in here. Mm-hmm. That's difficult, right? You really can't be successful in doing that. So as a professional woman that you are, what advice would you give other women out there who are in a leadership role on how to to help themselves to be a success, right? In general speaking of the word success, right? What would you say would be some of the things that they can do, should do, to be successful as a coach in their own way?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, like you said, success can be defined in many different ways. And right. I look at myself in the same kind of context, because I can do a lot of uplifting and that. And sometimes I have to look at, man, did I put my goals on hold? And mm-hmm. or am I where I needed to be? And, you know, I go back and forth. And so for my next, you know, I'm thinking about my next, you know, 3 to 5 year, you know, right. plan. I have to include myself. I've definitely, and I've had some traumatic things. This year was a really tough year. I lost my uncle, which I was very close with. And then 2 months later, I lost my father. So it really was an awakening. Like, you know, you're obviously not promised tomorrow. And it was a lot, because it took a lot for me to even just function, you know. And here I have these young women that are looking at me like, all right, let's go. And I have my own daughter, and you know, I'm a mother, I'm a sister, you know, I'm a coach. I'm a lot of things to people. And that was, and it's ongoing, but it really was a wake up call that I feel like maybe I've been putting stuff aside. And, you know, we always think that, you know, our parents or people in our lives are going to always be there. And then when that door is closed, it makes you look at like, wow, I need to get it together, you know, especially when I was in the state of not functioning. I felt like I was paralyzed. And I think for examples of moving on is really, you know, you have to cultivate who you want to be. Mm. And you also need to make sure you're investing and that commitment stays. I mean, we make commitments to others, but we tend to forget our own commitment to ourselves. Yeah. Self-care is very important. And then, you know, surrounding yourself with people that are going to help uplift and not take away. You've got to be around people that are givers and not so much of the taking away. And I think when I'm in a position where I'm giving, I need also that. And so I just need to listen to what I'm saying and be an active participant in listening, because I'm saying good stuff. I just have to take that on, you know, and really justify those things for myself as well. So I think, you know, women, we tend to unfortunately hurt each other when women are climbing, you know, instead of really motivating and really pushing and propelling them forward. We want to find something negative about it. And I think that's horrible. You know, I think we got to do a better job on promoting, you know, we want to find their flaws and criticize instead of really, you know, saying, wow, they've really made it. And so it's important that we deconstruct some of these messages and things that are going on. So my thing is we need to keep elevating, and on the way, someone else is going to help you up. It's not a handout, it's a help up. So we just have to continue to do that. And just again, be mindful of the transitions that you're making on your journey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's awesome. You're very inspiring. I have to say you're very inspiring. Question for you. Who inspires you?
Wow. Well, I'll make this simple. It was my grandmother and it's my mother. My grandmother definitely was the matriarch of the family. You know, salt of the earth, could, you know, put up 28 quarts of corn. She would do all the laundry. She was cooking for 15. And she'd say, hey, Chris, what you doing? And then she said, I just, you know, was in the garden, I picked all the collards and I'm doing this and I'm making cha-cha. And I'm like, what? You know, and meanwhile, I'm like, well, I went to work. And she's like, and I'm doing this. So, but she definitely, hard work, you know, was definitely instilled. And she would always say, you know, Chris, whatever you put your mind to, you can do it. And mm-hmm. she always talked about having your palm open so you can receive blessings and you can give blessings out. And as long as your palm is open, those blessings will flow in and you'll be able to flow them out. And I will say my mother as well. And my mother, you know, she was a cheerleader. There really wasn't athletics. And she cheered for my dad. My dad played basketball in high school. And my mom was the captain on the cheerleading squad. So she was the big motivator and cheerleader. But, you know, she was in an interracial relationship when it was not cool to be. Yeah. And so she was really a trendsetter at that time and really took a lot of flack on both sides, you know, of culture. And, you know, she made sure we in our household that we knew that we could do anything. Yeah. And I remember her exposing us to so many different things, you know, so many different books and then music. And I remember, you know, she put on the Supremes and Dinah Ross, and then she also put on Helen Reddy, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. And we played this song, and we were like, Mom, really? We don't want to hear this no more, please. But she just wanted us to understand, you can do anything. You truly can. And so, you know, my mom is definitely is an inspiring, you know, and motivates. And, you know, my family alone, my daughter inspires me, motivates me to be a better version and really, you know, try to help her in her journey as well. So a lot of different influences, but, you know, I would say the two main ones would be, you know, my grandmother and my mother.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you've probably already said this, but let's highlight it. If you haven't said it, what quote do you live by? A quote or quotes do you live by?
I think the quote that I think about, or and I think it's just an unknown, but it is, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? You know, and it's kind of, you know, and that's kind of a catch-22, because we're, I would do X, Y, and Z. Well, yeah, well, you should just do it, you know? We get caught up in the, you know, well, we second guess ourselves. And I think that's the hard part, is that, yeah, I'm definitely guilty. And I'm thinking,
so guilty of that.
I have to stop that. But, you know, it is. It's like, what are the possibilities? If we knew we couldn't fail, what would you do? What would you do first? So, but yeah, that's what I live by. And I, you know, I'm all about, you know, putting things in the universe and really, you know, trying to create that atmosphere, putting myself there, you know, if I'm looking at wanting to be in a different position, I have to start feeling that I can do that position and mm-hmm. be in that position. And so I'm about that, and visualization, that's been very key as an athlete myself, and then helping, you know, my young women as well, along with my daughter. You know, mm-hmm. she does swimming, so we do that, because I don't know anything about swimming, but I do know about visualization and talking and meditation and trying to help in that way. So, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. That is awesome. That is awesome. I really enjoyed speaking with you. This was really great. I found this to be a really, really great conversation. And I hope the women who are listening and my listeners out there really got something from this. On, you know, being successful, and not just being successful, being mindful of what you're doing, how you're doing it, and talking with you as a coach, how that really translates just to everyday life. You know, you're inspiring people, you're motivating people, and sometimes you're thinking what you're saying is not getting through.
Right.
It's gonna get through. You know, people are listening. People are listening, and young girls, young women, they are listening to you, just in the simple fact that I believe you're setting a foundation at Phoenix College for them to move on to somewhere else. And now that next coach or that next professor that gets them, they have someone with a good foundation on, you know, getting to that next level of whatever that next level is for them, whatever they've decided or defined as successful for them. So, but thank you for agreeing to impart your knowledge and wisdom and your tips on, you know, coaching and leadership to our listeners of Bench Talk. So thank you so much for that. So where can people find you on social media if they want to connect with you? Where can they find you on social media?
Well, again, I'm learning all this stuff, but on Facebook, it's just Christy Kincaid. And then on Instagram, it's Christy Kincaid 4. So you can reach me on those things as well. I'm obviously at Phoenix College. And so who knows about the future, though?
Absolutely. And so that's Christy with a K, and we will definitely put the links in the show notes so that everyone can go and follow you. Yes, we will definitely post your social media handles. You have an awesome Instagram. So you are doing something right.
Cool.
awesome Instagram page. So those of you guys listening, please follow Christy Kincaid 4. I'll put that in the show notes. And thank you so much again, Christy, for joining us. This was really, really fun for me. Love to have you back, talk about so many other things. There are a lot of topics. There are a lot of things out there. But really appreciate you joining this platform because I really wanted to provide a platform, Bench Talk, which is not just career, just career. It's, you know, career and personal life, everything in between. There's mm-hmm. so many topics that we as women should be talking about that we don't talk about, you know. Mm-hmm. Some of us feel stuck or alone in certain things. And I created this platform to say, you're not alone, you know, you don't have to be stuck, right? There are resources out there. There are people going through things just like you and me, and no one's life is perfect. Right. You know, Instagram will lie to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let me not just pick on Instagram. Social media, you see the highlight reels of mm-hmm. people's lives. Mm-hmm. And do not let that fool you.
Right, right.
It is really sad, you know, that you see certain things, and me, I'm guilty of it sometimes as well. You know, being an entrepreneur, sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm here and I see them there. What is it right. that they're doing that I'm doing? And it's like, no, this is where you put your blinders on.
Right.
That's mm-hmm. when you need to put your blinders on and do what you need to do and reach who you need to reach. Mm-hmm. Because your path and your journey is different. Everyone's right. journey is different. So please, please, please do not compare yourself
right.
to what you see out there, because right. a lot of it is not real.
Right.
You don't see what's behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Very right? true.
And so for our young listeners and watchers out there, just that's when you put your blinders on and right. you stay in your lane and do what you need to do. And if you need help, you reach out to your loved ones. They can point you in, you know, so many different directions, but mm-hmm. going to social media for help to, you know, right. sometimes is not the best thing to do. So mm-hmm. thank you for my TED talk, right?
There you go. See, I would have been guilty of that. Mom, no TED Talks, please.
I do them all the time. And actually went to one a month or so ago. So yeah, very interesting. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching. This has been awesome. Thank you again, Christy. I really appreciate
you.
It.
Truly, thank you. It's been awesome as well for me as well.
Thank you guys for listening to another episode and watching another episode of Bench Talk. Much more to come. Many more episodes to come. This has been really fun. Thank you guys for participating and allowing me this platform and allowing me to bring you guys great guests such as Christy. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Bench Talk. Be sure to catch up on previous episodes at benchtalk.net. This is Jackie Mitchell, your career consultant. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Jackie Mitchell CC and on Twitter, Jackie Mitch, that's Jackie MITCHCC. Thank you guys.